Off the Ball on News Talk 106 to 108.
I'm prepared to anything I can.
Well,
to
do it then. Do it then.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
So this hour we'll bring you more from Messrs McAteer and Hunt, who were chatting to myself earlier on, looking very dapper in their Benetti suits, menswear, very happy with themselves.
What about you, Joe? You were looking dapper too.
I was looking dapper too, yeah, I was doing my best. You weren't there, you were in Westport for the Sea to Summit charity gig, which is always a big deal down there. I did the Sea to Summit a few years ago, three years ago now actually.
Yeah.
Popped up on my Facebook recently.
You won't come back for it for a second go. We want to try and get you back over there, Joe.
We are all 100% down.
Yeah,
for 2018.
I want to get the mailman Nathan Murphy over to do it. Yeah. Nathan promised me he'd do it and pulled out. Obviously, we had the game, so neither of us could do it on Saturday. But I went into Westport yesterday. We had a good charity fundraiser for Down Syndrome Centre and John Giles Foundation, so it was great, yeah.
Okay, so you missed the lads, but we're all decked out. So we'll bring you part two of their chat. We talk a lot about penalties in this part two chat,
yeah,
with them, because obviously, incredibly likely in some respects that penalties will feature.
Yeah.
So Martin O'Neill in town, obviously, and David Myler back at the Aviva earlier on today. The Danish team are just finished up in the last half hour or so, their training session. So the squad has been practicing penalties, the Irish squad have been, and David Myler, as Martin O'Neill revealed, missed one in training. But O'Neill was saying if David wants to step up and take one, he can take one.
He could still be, because missing the penalties in the on practice is a totally different issue to taking them in the big game. But it's still nice to... some of the lads were practising, yeah, and it's on the evening, isn't it? That's the most important thing, on the evening. We've done it umpteen times before, both as a player and as a manager. And generally speaking, those lads who volunteer for to take them in practice usually don't take them in the matches. You know, knowing that, remember that great final. Liverpool, was it Liverpool and Roma? A couple of great Brazilian players, best players in the world, down tools and didn't take the penalties, you know. So at least we have people, including Myler, who want to take them. And I think that's half the battle.
Mm.
Did you find that there were lads in training who were brilliant to penalties, but come match time just did not want to deal with the pressure? I don't even mean that in a slight on them. Just they knew themselves that the pressure was too much for them, even though they could take penalties very, very well in less strenuous circumstances.
No, not really that. But I do remember I only maybe come out when Niall Quinn wrote his book afterwards, and he said the thing that I really think about now, and I think about some of the lads that took penalties, younger lads, and I was one of the most experienced players, or the most experienced player on the team, and I didn't step up, I didn't put my name forward. I don't think it wasn't so much that it was the pressure, it's just that maybe he didn't feel as though at that time it was right for him. I don't know, I don't really know his reasoning. It'd be nice if we could get Niall in one night and talk about that, because the big moments in your life that you look back on, you think about, aren't they?
How did it happen for you against Spain? Did Mick come up to you and say, Kev, will you take one, or did you decide yourself, I'm taking one, and you put your hand up?
Well, I'd been taking one fairly confidently throughout when we were practicing. I said we practiced every day, I think, anyway, leading up to it. And maybe I would have been one of the first three to take it. It would have been definitely Robbie. If Harty was on the pitch, Harty would have gone up, but Harty would have taken one. Mm-hmm. They were your main two, essentially. So Robbie was still on the pitch, so Robbie was definitely number one. And then he probably looked at someone like David Connolly, who was a natural finisher, technically very good at finishing, though, so David would have taken one. And then I was probably number three, and then it would have been Matty. And Matty took penalties, I think, with Ipswich, yeah. Yeah. So so I think he would have probably be naturally the one that would have taken one as well. And Stevie Finnan, who was technically a very good footballer, he took one as well. So that was kind of maybe in the decision. I don't know if it'd take.
You basically knew.
We picked ourselves, I would imagine.
Okay, so the whistle went, you knew I'm probably taking one here. Unless I really turn around to Mick and say,
yeah,
don't fancy it. Did any part of you feel like saying to Mick, I don't fancy it?
No, not at all. Okay. I was confident, totally confident.
Did you, yeah?
Yeah, not a bother.
Right.
Not a bother, yeah.
Because of the practice you'd done, partly.
Yeah, I think it was because of that, yeah. I think it was because of that. Nothing prepares you for that little walk-up, though.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd missed a penalty throughout my career in penalty shootouts or penalties that I'd taken in games.
Did you take many?
Not many, but I'd taken a few.
Yeah.
And it was never an issue. And I don't even afterwards, you know, I've taken a few even after that, never missed them. But always very confident. But walking up in a World Cup was different. It was different. I don't know how I said it was.
I'm
it was
sure.
just... Jeez. I think Shea spoke about that. Shea spoke about when we had him in, and I read it in his book as well. Shea was saying, this was my Paki Bonner moment. I was just thinking Paki Bonner from Italia 90.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah, it was. I think it was probably in everybody's mind. You think of Italia 90, you think of the penalty shootout, David O'Leary finishing it off.
Well, you know, this is going to be shown for the next 20 years and more.
Yeah, yeah, you probably don't think that, but I think you might be thinking back to your...
An egomaniac like me would think that. How's my hair?
Yeah, but I think you're thinking back, aren't you? You're thinking back to the time when I automatically was thinking of, you know, the players, the Townsend. I remember Andy Townsend's penalty stood out for me in that, how he stood up and he was really cool and just sent the keeper the wrong way as a left footer as well. It probably was. That was the sort of thing that stood out for me. So, yeah, it's just the memories of, you know...
They cross your mind.
Yeah, what they become, what it'll mean to everyone. People remember my bloody penalty miss from 2002, and it's a bloody killer for me.
When did you decide which side you were going?
I would have always gone keepers left, my right, go across. It normally would have been fairly confident on that one as well.
And would you have done that in training 90% of the time?
Yeah, up there, yeah. Okay. And then, so if you know, the keeper might have read you once. Yeah. Would it have been Shea, Alan Kelly, whoever it would have been, and Dean Kiley? He maybe could have stick one in the other corner, but
just
predominantly.
Just to keep them honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, tomorrow will be interesting. We'll
the more you think about it, it's a huge possibility, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, look, the point we made just for podcast listeners, we were talking at the start of the show, and I was just saying, you know, you've got to think first 20, 25 minutes, keep it tight will be order of the day. And then from an Irish point of view, if it's nil all, like this mythical period where we're suddenly going to spring Wes with 20 minutes to go and go for the game, I think the opposite will happen. I think we get into the last 20 or 25 and it's nil all, and I think we'll be petrified of conceding, because if we concede, we're out.
Yeah.
So there might be a period mid-game, 10, 15 minutes either side of halftime, where we go for it. But I think other than that, we're not going to go for it. So penalties feel very likely.
I think the listeners would always be, when you're saying that as well, when you mention the word petrified there, be like, oh no, what? I tell you what, why don't we just go for it?
Mm.
But it's just... Again, and anyone can relate to it, no matter what level anyone would have played at, whether it would have been playing for your school, whether it would have been playing for your, you know, for your clubs, whatever it would have been, you all would have played a game that's different, and these games are different.
Yeah.
So that's where you have that little bit of anxiety that's within you.
Because Liam Brady did a package in RTE post-match of some of Ireland's better players. Robbie Brady was in one. Harry Arter, who does have a bit of technique about him.
Yeah,
you know, not saying he's Roy Keane, but another player who can play. There's a succession of Irish players hacking the ball with 15 yards of space around them. And the only explanation, as you say, is the pressure, the nerves. I'm not going to be the one.
Yeah.
So Martin O'Neill today, he talked on Saturday about a more expansive approach and going for the game a bit more. And Kenny Cunningham on Sunday show yesterday was talking about how he thought Ireland were too deep and wanted them to press more.
Yeah.
So let's press, a bit like the goal in Cardiff. And O'Neill was asked about how hard we'll press them in terms of approach.
Of course. I think you've got it, absolutely, because the Danes have the players to exploit that. And I think that they'll feel that they're capable of scoring a goal. So we have to be... We have to play the game. In the manner in which we that we've tried to do. We know that we're going to have to open the Danes up in some aspect. We're going to have to be trying to be very, very careful that on the counter, if that's the case. And it'll be all the things that you've just mentioned. And I think that's the way that the game will fall. We have to take our chances when they come, and we will create some.
Yeah, David Myler was feeling very confident. He said, I only see one outcome. I think Ireland are going to the World Cup. I don't think anyone will stand in our way. Denmark are a very good team, very good players, but they don't have the character and the heart and the desire that we have.
Ah, fair play. Yeah. He's good, though.
Comments which were then put to the Denmark manager, Herrera.
My thought is that he doesn't know the players. But like a quote like that, then he doesn't know the players. I've learned in the beginning when we started, I didn't even know the players myself. But after working with them up to this game, I know them. And there's a reason most of our players are spread out in the whole Europe, you know, with great experience. And they don't get that far, you know, if they don't have the heart and the braveness to play football. And it's not only about winning duels and fighting, it's about skill and also to adapt to different cultures. And we have a strong team now, and I hopefully will show it tomorrow.
Anger right there. A teammate of Martin Neal's at Norwich.
Mm.
David Myler's comments open the back of the dressing room door.
Yeah, it is a bit of that, but I think just one of those. David Myler's just talking from the heart. He's just looking to try and build. That's maybe for himself a little bit as well. There's no problem at all with that.
I think
it's good. I think it's actually good.
You didn't think much of Denmark?
No, I didn't. I didn't really know. I think the one thing it's going to play in the players' minds, I think, right, we've had a good look at them now. This is what they've got. This is all they've got.
Mm-hmm.
Eriksen wasn't in the game. He just kept on dropping deeper and deeper. I didn't see anything. If I'd have played that game, if I was going up in that second leg, I'd have said, right, I'm confident now. We can actually do things a little bit differently. We can actually get at these, and we will get at these, and we should beat them. I'll be really disappointed if we don't beat them tomorrow night. I'll be really disappointed. From the fact is that they're not a good, we're going out against a good side. Against a poor side, if that's the case.
It's still nil all in the San Siro. 76 minutes in the clock, so 1-0 to Sweden on aggregate. So Kev doesn't think much of Denmark. I don't think anyone was massively blown away by them. Here's Hraida on what they might have to change from Saturday in Copenhagen to get a result in Dublin tomorrow.
I think we, as we said, after the game in Copenhagen, we have to speed up our passing, speed up the passing of the, when we play the ball try to play it in between the lines, you know. We just have to try it with a higher speed and less touches on the ball. That's the way you open it. But they're very good at that. They're very good at defending. They keep the team very, very tight, you know, and they sort of don't increase the space. They make it as narrow as possible, and they're good at that. That's part of the game. So all credit for Ireland for that, you know. But we have to, when we have the ball possession close to 70%, you know, we have to work on that. That's our game. We have to work on that to take the game to Ireland and try to get through, either on the flanks or central. And the different passes, you know, and different angles we can set up, and more people in front of the ball, you know, that makes us even more dangerous. We had the possibility to score in Copenhagen. I'm sure we're going to get it again.
Mm. And that's the scary thing.
Yeah,
they score.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
We're done.
I think we'd have taken a draw beforehand, wouldn't we? It's not the ideal draw, of course. We'd have loved to have scored and come away with something that we know that we can maybe defend. But it's still a result we'd have all taken.
I know. Well, maybe. If we come away with a 1-1, you'd be feeling so much better about tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely.
You'd feel, well, we'll get penalties anyway.
Yeah, maybe going back on the point there, you're saying, yes, I didn't see anything that's gonna worry me from Denmark. He's talking about them. Yes, of course, we've got to be a bit better, and we can be a bit better. We will improve. We can get a lot better, and
sure,
that is the thing that I'm looking at, and I've got to look at that with a lot of optimism, thinking, yeah, I think we'll take them.
He made a point, Hraida, when he was talking earlier on the press conference as well. I just jotted it down, where he basically said about Ireland, they play better away from home and they score more goals away from home.
He's just looking at stats, isn't he, by saying these, that's all.
He then went on to say, screw you, Kevin Colban, I watched the game they played against Serbia and the game against Wales. So they drew, they lost 1-0, Serbia, they drew against Wales 0-0. And yet they go to Wales, they win 1-0, they draw 2-2 in Serbia. So he thinks we're a better team away from home. As did Damien Duff, I think, on RT, kind of said that he really, you know, what's the evidence to suggest we're going to take the game to these guys and go through. So there were some touching moments in the press conference earlier on. We remember the work of journalist Stan Collymore from France last year. Stan working with Russia today.
Yeah. Good man, Stan.
Yeah,
eh?
Yeah. Vladimir was looking on. Chuffed to see Stan. Stan was in the front row for Russia today, and naturally he had some questions for his old manager.
Gaffer, good to see you, first and foremost.
Hello, Stan. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Who are you working for now?
On to Russia today.
Where are
you? RT, Russian television.
Russian television?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Are you
speaking Russian?
That's Gobia.
Very nice.
Let's see if I can teach you a little bit.
You taught me a lot, Stan, when we were less.
I'm sure.
Some of the things were unrepeatable here, you know?
How important.
Taught me how to live.
Yes.
Good luck, Stan.
You know, thank you.
He was actually a very good player for us until you broke your leg.
Yeah.
Really good.
Thank you.
Remember that hat-trick against Sunderland?
Sunderland, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember it well.
Ewan Heskey up front.
Should have took this a Celtic mind, but never mind. Maybe in the next lifetime.
I know. In the next lifetime, but, yeah. I think I'll see that next lifetime before you. Yeah. Long before you.
There we go. Stan, if you're not on Twitter, Stan's a big Irish fan.
Loves yeah, yeah.
A few words of Guelga.
Celtic fan as well.
Yeah, should have taken me to Celtic, Martin, he said.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was some of the antics going on today. O'Neill has been in good form over the last 10 days or so.
Yeah.
Sometimes he can be tetchy, especially in the build-up to games, but he's been pretty relaxed by the usual standards. Meanwhile, we're into the last 10 minutes now between Italy and Sweden. Sweden, a rare attack now increasingly, because Italy are going for this game because they have to get this equaliser. Sweden almost had a chance, but some good defending.
Yeah, breakaways. To be fair, Italy got back into the shape quite well. Another penalty shout. This time it was on Belletti. I think it actually wasn't the penalty. It was Andreas Granqvist won the ball, and Belletti just going over a little bit theatrically. But I think in general, the four penalties that the referees missed in this game, glaring penalties, as you will see, and there'll be a lot of questions asked of him after this game, yeah?
Yeah. So they were the thoughts of O'Neill today and the Danish coach as well, Aga Harida. We're going to take a short break and we will bring you some more considered thoughts from Jason McAteer and Stephen Hunt.
Off the ball.
In association with AIR. Watch live and exclusive SSE Airtricity League action this month on AIR Sport.
This is News Talk.
Scary stuff now for Italy. The last time they missed a World Cup was when Pele was doing his thing in Sweden in 58. They've been there every time since, won a few, and now they have 7 minutes to try and rescue this game against Sweden in the San Siro. This is scary times. Sweden have decided that's it. We're back. Everyone back. Yeah. And it's break us down time for Italy.
But there's still a little bit of a threat on the break, aren't they? They're still having a couple of breakaways here and there. But yeah, it's all about Italy here and how they open them up. Because what Sweden are doing, they're defending a bit like we've done against Wales, even Saturday. Back four, very narrow, allowing crosses. They're almost like saying, go on, you can get wide, cross the ball, we'll deal with it. And the crosses just simply haven't been good enough from Italy.
Maybe we should have wanted Italy instead of Denmark, Kev.
Well, I said that. I said that before. No, I'm not saying that. No, but what I did say is that out of the four, everyone was automatically thinking Italy. You don't want Italy. I didn't want Croatia. They were the number one I didn't want because I think with the players they've got, they could really hurt you.
You did say that. I can confirm that.
Yeah. And the other one, of course, it was Italy as well. But I think I would have, in my order, probably would have been Croatia, Italy. And then Switzerland, maybe. Switzerland and Italy, I think, are much of a much. And then,
of course,
Croatia
with the class apart for you.
Yeah. And maybe I've not altered that really, given how Denmark played.
So before the break, we heard Martin O'Neill talking about David Myler, looking forward to taking a penalty regardless of how he's gone in practice. Earlier on, we spoke to Stephen Hunt and Jason McAteer, and penalties came up.
Mentally strong people should take penalties.
Yeah, so were there lads who were absolutely brilliant at penalties in training and would never even think of putting their hand up?
Yeah, me.
Would you not?
No.
And could you hit
Although
them?
I have.
No one day he looked at me when I said mentally strong. He gave me a little look there, like, oh, shut up on me. Talented players, like.
No, I'd tell you what was funny in the World Cup against Spain, where we just used to mess around taking penalties at the end. It was something you did, wasn't it? Quinny would do this thing where he'd bet you a tenner. And you'd have three penalties, and if he saved one, you'd owe him a tenner. That was the bet.
Right.
And he was a good goalie, Quinny. He would always save one of the three.
Yeah.
So we used to mess around doing that. So that was our practice, really.
Did you try and say to each other, let's take this seriously and try and...
Well, you wanted to win a tennis, of course you would take it seriously.
But did you try and create a pressure environment, or was there lots of slagging and messing?
The tenner meant a lot more, and the banter. In terms of pressure, you'd still feel it because of the crack you'd have with the lads.
You could never replicate that 20,000 stand. You know, behind you, or the pressure of, like, you know, what goes through your head. That walk from, like, I missed one in the playoff semi for Sunderland, and the walk from the halfway line to that penalty spot, it's like walking through quicksand.
Yeah.
And the emotions that you go through, it's horrible, innit?
But I'd say it's out of body experience almost.
It's weird, yeah. But that because you're saying to yourself, you know, the advice that you get given is you pick your spot, don't change it.
Yeah.
And I tell you now, right, you change your mind about 20 times. And it's just, there's all kinds go through your head. But that penalty shootout against Spain in the World Cup in 2002, honest to God, right, it was like, now Quinn's 6'4". And when Mick said, do you want a penalty, he turned into 4'6". Yeah. He just shrunk, Quinny. It was like, just went, it's just, it's whoever is, you know, one day, like you said, one day you could, in that situation, the manager could go, do you fancy it? You've played well, you feel okay. You're like, yeah, I'm up for it. And then there could be another moment in a different game where he says, do you fancy it? And you think, oh, I don't fancy it.
Maybe that just comes to very talented players, because I always wanted to...
Did you always want to take one?
I always wanted to take one. I was just maybe eager all my life. Yeah.
Luis Garcia, like that. He wanted to take the penalty in the Champions League final.
Right.
And with Xavi Alonso, he takes the ball and he said, Cara just turns round to him and goes, no, not you, like that. And he turned round to Benitez, Garcia, and he went like that. And Benitez went and pointed at Xavi. And gave it to Xavi, who missed it, but he scored the rebound.
And then, sorry, was Garcia a good penalty taker or just deluded?
He would tell you he was the best.
But was he good?
Was he good?
I don't remember. Him
obviously, looked very pretty taking it, but
he looked $1 million.
Yeah.
And so, but if a manager says to you, "Do you fancy it?" You must feel a certain pressure to go, "I should be brave here and say, yeah, I fancy it," even if you don't. Like,
no, Sunderland, I wish.
No, it takes a braver person to say no. I don't as well. Sometimes
I'd say so. Yeah, because it's kind of frowned upon. Yeah. Did you miss your one at Sunderland?
Yeah, saved. Was it a good miss?
Was it a good penalty?
He went the right way. If it had gone the other way,
how close to the post was it?
No, it was a great save, yeah.
Any penalty scored.
I read up on it, right?
Yeah,
and there's a theory that if you're right-footed, when you're in a pressurised situation, your subconscious takes over. And they say that the easiest way to strike a ball is across your body. So if you're in this pressurised situation, your body will want to do that.
Want to hook it in. Yeah. I interviewed Matt.
So it's something like 70% of penalties in high pressures go that way with a right footer.
Right? I interviewed Matt Letizia, who was obviously brilliant at penalties, just missed the one. And he said his technique always, and it ties in with your point about don't change your mind being nonsense. He said always, he started off in his run-up and he was going to put it in the far corner, the right-hand side, open his body. Mm. But if the keeper moved last minute, it was very easy to hook the ball into the other corner. So that was his technique. So anytime he had put it in the side you're talking about, he had changed his mind in the run-up. Otherwise, it was...
Obviously, very talented, too.
Aldo used to stutter, didn't he?
No, I was picking a spot. I'd practiced the week before every time and then stayed that way.
Best penalty taker I've ever seen, Kevin Sheedy.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Smashed it left foot. Just smashed it top corner. Mm. Every time.
Yeah.
And if you struggle down the middle, just...
Did you ever do it... what's it called? Palenka?
I used to hit one down the middle, but not...
You never
soft.
Used to do that.
No, never.
It's too much of a risk.
But when you think about it, the slower the better, because the further the keeper has dived, if he is, but no, my balls were never that big enough.
David Moyes, thanks for the image of your balls.
Thanks for the image. Now I'm left
sorry, lads. Wow.
David Moyes, actually, when he was manager, this is what I've heard, I don't know if it's true, but he'd get everyone in, so he'd decide on who's taking the penalties, and he would get everyone to tell the group what way you're going. So it'd be, Hunty, what are you doing with yours? Bottom left. And he'd say, right, do that no matter what, and if you miss, it's my fault. That was his way of trying to take the pressure off players. But I mean, you're just going to feel pressure no matter what. Can you imagine having to take one tomorrow to keep us in with a chance of going to the World Cup? Who are our penalty takers? Brady?
Wow.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Myler. Do you know why I can't understand why they don't take penalties? And because all they do is strike balls all day, isn't it? Yeah. Goalkeepers.
Yeah. Harry Hart as well. Yeah, goalkeepers are the best, probably.
They strike the ball the best. All the goal kicks and the passes out and stuff.
So do footballers kick it all the time.
Yeah, but goalkeepers, like, you're taking the ball too. Really,
if they're going to go for firm and pick a side, then you think goalkeepers
will
be...
Goalkeepers smash it.
Yeah. Who are other penalty takers? We've got Brady, we've got Myler.
Myler.
Is Hendrick a good penalty taker?
Arthur, yeah.
Do you know?
See, I'd give it to Stephen Ward.
Okay, Ward, yeah.
Mentally.
If Shane Long's on the pitch, here's the one
thing. He'll want one.
Shane Long hasn't scored since February. Yep. I don't know how his confidence is. He kind of has to take one, does he?
The longer he goes without a goal, the closer he becomes to scoring a goal. Possibly.
Mind blown.
No, I didn't even get that.
would you...
Yep.
Long will step up and take one.
Yeah. He wouldn't hesitate anyway.
Forward as well, isn't he? You'd expect
him. That's what I mean. A bit of pressure to do it. Yeah.
Now, having said that, Kevin Doyle was never... He scored a few early on and he missed a couple at Reading. And I was like, no, I'm not having this. I jeopardised our friendship to grab the ball off him. I know I did. But I still grabbed it off him on the day and scored, luckily, against Liverpool, actually.
In which... That was just a penalty in normal time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But that was 0-0.
I had a question yesterday. It was... I might be getting it wrong, but I know the answer. He's never... Which player's never missed a penalty in the Premier League or was it the last 10 years?
I heard that yesterday.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
How many has he taken? It can't be someone who's only
taken... Like loads. Like a penalty taker for his team. Although he's not this season.
Go on.
Torre. Yeah, Torre.
Yeah, Torre.
Oh, yeah.
Never missed a penalty.
He's laid back as can be.
Jason looks 10 years younger, not 10 years older.
Benjamin Button. I am. You seen that film?
Do you moisturise?
I do actually, yeah. I am a modern man. Hunty? Yeah.
What did he say about me?
Well, look, your hair went grey
10 years older.
Quickly.
The reason I look 10 years younger is because I'm sitting next to Hunt.
Do you think if you hadn't been dyeing your hair...
Head and shoulders.
Do you think if you hadn't dyed your hair, it would have counted against you genuinely?
1,000,000%.
Really?
Yeah. I would have been grey at 32, I reckon.
And that would have been...
Full on.
Managers would have said, he's
yeah.
gone.
People,
did you dye your hair?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you?
For about 27, 28.
Did
like.
You?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it would have been... People sitting in the stand, scouts, and I see it now from going to games. They judge people very much on appearance as well and how they look, how they run. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it is, you know. So, some final points then. Jimmy Allen on Facebook was in Brussels for that playoff with Belgium. A great trip.
Oh,
but, Jesus, yeah. It rained like nothing on earth.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Met a few legends, in brackets, he has nameless, in the hotel after. Had a great night.
You're panicking now, aren't
you? The one thing, even though we lost quite a few of the playoffs, I was involved in. I think I was involved in 4 or 5. I won one. We celebrated like we qualified. That was the only good thing about it.
Yeah.
Was it the Turkey? Turkey when Cass punched the centre-half, wasn't
it? That's gave me the big fight, yeah.
Tony Ickey, the security, ran on and got Roy off the pitch of all the players. Just got Roy.
Where's Roy? Where's Roy?
It was like Alex had rang up and gone, get Roy off the pitch. It's like, get him off. And we were just getting battered.
Hearts aside, be brutally pragmatic and analytical here. What's the most likely result tomorrow? Denmark to go through or Ireland?
I don't think it'll be high scoring.
Yeah.
I think it'll be... I like that word, pragmatic. Mm-hmm. I learnt what it was about a month ago and kept using it in every interview.
That's a pragmatic question.
Yes, I think it'll be a pragmatic approach by both managers. I do actually think it'll be a pragmatic approach by both managers. I think the patience is the key. Mm. It will be, I think it'll be a one. We'll either get done two or we'll win one.
Okay.
And I think we'll win one.
So for you, first goal is the winner?
Yes.
We score first, it'll be, right lads, everyone back, we're parking the bus kind of a thing?
We are brilliant. Even the Holland game, when I scored, the last 25 minutes was the best defending of a team I've ever been involved with. Yes. We fought everything with our... We did, didn't we? We had that. We got that ability.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. We all fight for each other. And I think that's a testament to the team spirit we have and the closeness as players we are. Yeah. We just didn't want to let each other down.
Yeah.
And they got that, this team.
It's only 35 minutes before you mentioned that Holland game. Good.
I just hope we...
Not the one away, not the one I know.
I just hope nothing silly happens or a penalty that wasn't a penalty and a decision is made. Yeah. Once we keep it tight, we'll...
Jason's point, if we go one up, he thinks we hang on. If we concede, they probably nick another. Is that how you see it going as well?
I think it'll be 0-0. I think...
Okay.
I'd like to think we'll nick a goal. But if we are chasing it, we're dangerous. We're vulnerable when we do chase the game.
Yeah.
I think it might be extra time penalties.
If it goes to extra time, I presume both teams really get nervous and just...
I'm going to test you.
Yeah.
Do away goals go after extra time?
Yeah. They have 120 minutes to get an away goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think if it goes to extra time, we suddenly get very nervous.
It counts.
It's an away goal.
Okay. Extra time goes dead quick as well, doesn't it? It's like half an hour, but it's not. Well,
yeah.
It is, but it feels like it's 10 minutes.
There we go, McAteer.
Who would have known
Hunt
that Jason scored against Holland? Would you have known that?
Oh, I did say to him, it took you 35 minutes to mention it. What are you doing? By the way, just, you know, I know you like to think of BBC newsreaders wearing their tuxedos back in the day on the radio as well as on television. Well, we were dressed in our Benetti Menswear Finest, sponsoring the team. They got us there. They clobbered us all out for a Facebook Live. Yeah. It was a joy.
You all look well.
Oh, we look fantastic,
well.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, it's just gone full time. Quite unbelievably, well, not that unbelievably, but quite unbelievably, Gianluigi Buffon, his career with Italy is over. Italy's World Cup qualification campaign stops here, ends here. Nil all. They're out. There are Italian tears right now. All the Italian players have gone over to Buffon. They know what that means for him. What a sad way for him to go. The Swedish players, as they cleared a ball at full time, you could hear the whistle it went because they just all took off towards the bench.
Amazing.
Amazing stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
Great game.
Yeah, a bit wild, wasn't it? Italy had their chances.
Yeah. And they should have had four penalties in the game. Sweden should have had two. Italy should have had two. Had chances, yes. Lads in tears. That's Bellotti in tears on the pitch. It's just
Just unbelievable stuff, really, yeah.
As we were listening, playing out Hunt and McAteer there, the game descended into a very similar pattern to the first leg, whereby Sweden just decided, right, we're done, we've had enough here, we can hang on. And they drop back, everybody back behind the ball, Italy playing. It was just a lot of crosses in, really, ultimately. And, I mean, they created a few chances. There was a few volleys from the edge of the area, and there was one header which went wide. But, you know, it's very difficult to open a team up when they only have to see out 10 minutes and they've decided to do that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And you, whichever, maybe relate that to our game tomorrow night, whichever team will score that first goal tonight that you touched on in that piece there, that's pretty much what will happen defensively to either team. They'll do exactly what Sweden done. They know they're protecting something and they'll just try and sit in and defend quite narrow, allow teams to cross against them and think you'll deal with a cross when it's coming into the area. That's exactly what Sweden did. And as you say, it's so difficult to open up a side when you do that.
23 attempts for Italy to Sweden's 4, although Sweden's chances were good. 6 of those 23 attempts for Italy were on target, with just 1 from Sweden on target. But Italy really did have some very good chances of those 23. They made 631 passes to Sweden's 117. They had 7 corners to Sweden's none. It was that kind of a game. It was always going to be that kind of a game. But 1958, the last time there was no Italy at a World Cup. So it's amazing stuff tonight. So on we go to Dublin tomorrow. Short break. We'll get final match prediction from Kev ahead of the game tomorrow. But then we'll also chat a bit about Northern Ireland. Amazing game last night. But ultimately, no joy for Michael O'Neill.
Off the ball.
In association with AIR. Don't miss live and exclusive Premier League action this month on the AIR Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, Italy out of the World Cup. Sweden are through. Nil all tonight in the San Siro. 1-0 to Sweden on aggregate. Amazing scenes. Tears all round both teams, and plenty of people going up to Gianluigi Buffon and saying, you weren't bad. Congratulations all the same.
Is that different? Has he announced he's retiring from international football?
Yeah.
Has he said that?
He said I think he's retiring this year ultimately either way.
Yeah.
I think the only reason he played on this season was in the hope of a World Cup.
World Cup to finish off, yeah. Like a Zidane type thing, I suppose, wouldn't it be? Yeah.
Precisely, yeah. Northern Ireland will not be at the World Cup either. They drew 0-0 in Basel last night. They obviously lost 1-0 in Belfast over the weekend. So that game, and ultimately the tie, has been dominated by the Ricardo Rodriguez controversial decision. We'll touch on that in a second. But the game last night, it was a great game.
Yeah,
it was a great nil-all.
Great watch.
The pitch was horrific. There was a downpour pre-match.
Yeah.
And you were lucky to get 3 bounces of a ball, but generally it was 2, and it was stopping.
Pace as well of the game, Joe, wasn't it? You could just tell the pace on the match and how quickly both teams were moving the ball. Both teams going for it when the other side was a little bit open when they'd gone on the attack themselves. It was just, it was a great watch. Really good watch, yeah.
Yeah, it was like something from a throwback. It was wild.
Yeah.
Both teams were able to get at each other's back fours. They were both dead in their feet with the last 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it was.
And it was like, you know, Switzerland clearly thought to themselves, well, we're good enough to score here. And they did create really good chances. So we're not going to sit back like Sweden tonight. And Northern Ireland clearly thought, well, we have to go for this.
Yeah.
So it meant they were both incredibly vulnerable at all times, and it made it an unbelievable spectacle.
Yeah, exactly right. So exactly how it was. It was just, as you say, maybe a bit of a throwback. But again, the playoff games do become like this as well. If you relate them to any playoff games, it would have seen first game, perhaps a little bit more cagey. Maybe even Northern Ireland. And I know that the game will be dominated by the refereeing decision. Yes, I'll take that. Because we know it's just an horrendous call. But when we spoke about it the weekend, I look back at maybe the 1-09 with us. We lost it in the first game. Did Northern Ireland lose it in that first game when they were really poor? They didn't really show any ambition to get forward. That is what I would perhaps maybe look at as well within it. I know you look at that major decision, the major talking point from the game that's put them out, yes. But did you lose it in the first game? And it was suggested it was probably the worst performance throughout the group on Friday, was it Thursday? It was suggested that was the worst performance that they'd played.
Yeah.
And it probably was. And that's maybe when you look at it, you think you could have created a few more chances at home.
Yeah. For Switzerland, it's a 4th successive World Cup.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. Only Christian Eriksen with 38 chances has created more chances than Shaqiri with 34.
Yeah.
Shaqiri was good.
Yeah. He's a good player, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a good player. On his day, he's a very good player.
So the penalty or the handball decision looms large, the Rodriguez handball decision. Johnny Evans saying it was worse than Henri's handball. And I think he has a point here.
Yeah.
He's saying it was a worse decision than the Henri handball because the ref has made a call that wasn't there. It's different to not seeing it. Like, we can at least live with the fact that, look, the referee just didn't see it. We can see how that can happen to somebody.
Mm.
Whereas this referee, Rodriguez, gambled.
Yeah, why I think some referees do gamble, I believe, is because, particularly in these big games, if he's missed that decision and you review it back, like we review these decisions tonight, you look back at it, he hasn't seen them, so he's not giving them. Glaring to us watching, yes, made four poor calls ultimately, but has he seen them? If he hasn't seen them, he doesn't give them. Whereas this one, he's seen something, and what it looks like then, what it looked to me as, he looks great if it is actually a penalty. He looks great. I look great. I've given this. What a call that was. Great refereeing. He's trying to enhance his reputation. Instead, he's blew a whistle on something that just simply hasn't happened.
Yeah.
It's not there.
Because the rule quite clearly has to be, if you didn't see it, you don't can't give it.
It's just, so why is he giving it? That is the thing. Why is he giving it? He's guessed,
yeah,
and he's just made the call. And I know now with the Northern Ireland players and manager and everyone will be around it, will be talking about, even for tonight's game, I suppose, as well. Why can't we introduce video technology? From what I've seen up to now, it hasn't worked as well as I thought it would work. I think it's a bit too slow at the moment, so it's probably going to be in use. It will be in use for the World Cup next summer. But these big calls, these big matches, that the game of this magnitude has been decided by a refereeing decision like that. Mm. I mean, I spoke earlier on throwing about some daft figures on what it means to the economy. But what does that mean to Northern Ireland missing out on that World Cup? These players, of course, missing out on a World Cup, but for the IFA up there, for the people of Northern Ireland, for the supporters, it's too big a call.
Well, it is. I know you crunched the numbers. I think you said 45 billion.
Yeah. I know. You can dig me out all you want on that one. Yeah, that was, I did come out with some ridiculous numbers.
If I'm not a football man, you're not an economist.
Yeah.
So Michael O'Neill then, he was non-committal afterwards, doesn't know what he's doing with his future. The bottom line with O'Neill is he'll be in, you would think, a big demand. So when he took over Northern Ireland in 2011, we're 89th. They're now 23rd in the FIFA World Rankings. Ireland are 28th.
Mm.
I suppose the question for Michael O'Neill is, will Premier League clubs look at this and say it's good enough,
is it good enough to
throw him in? And I don't know the answer to that, actually.
Yeah, I think he is good enough.
Yeah,
I do think that. But the point would always be, yeah, would a club think like that themselves? Would they think that managing Northern Ireland at international level is good enough to put them in? It's a difficult one. I'm sure now what he has done, it probably, I don't want to take him away from the team. He might have another campaign in to go to the Euros again. But it seems to me like he's done all he can, really. I do think that. And I think the next step for him now, if he got the chance, I think he would go now. But which club would it be?
Mm.
Any one of the Premier League clubs. I don't know. I don't know if that would be the case. It might be a top-end championship club.
Yeah. So tomorrow night, we've got full match commentary from the Aviva. We've also got the Aviva fan studio with Stephen Kenny, Andy Lee and Ruth Fahey from the Irish Mirror. And if you want to win a pair of tickets, just send us in your best question for the panel using hashtag Aviva Fan Studio. Check out the Facebook, Twitter pages for chances to win. OTBAM, our TV show, 7:45 tomorrow morning with a big Brian O'Driscoll announcement. Text in says, tell Kev not to worry. Of the three penalties against Spain in 0-2, his was the best. Casillas did well. Holland skied it, and my six-year-old would take a better penalty than Connolly did, says Johnny and Kilkenny. So you're less crap than those two.
But still crap.
Well,
yeah.
Tom Dunn.
That's a relative degree of crap, can I say, Kevin. Missing a penalty in those circumstances, sorry.
On the
boy's dream.
Yeah, on the spectrum of crap, it's somewhere. Yeah. So what's the feeling in your waters, Tom?
1-0. 1-0. I see glorious victory on the horizon.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I do.
Great.
I do.
What did you think Saturday, Tom?
I thought it was solid. Yeah, we never looked like we were going to give much away, did we, really?
Yeah,
no.
They came close, but there'll always be chances in games. I sound like a pundit now saying that.
You'd be on the mark there anyway with that.
Yes, I never felt that worried. Mm. I was never jumping off the side of the couch in fear or anything like that. I was uncomfortable, but... Yeah, I thought we looked good. We looked, I thought we got what we wanted. I couldn't see us getting a 1-0. I never thought that was going to happen.
Yeah. We'll be there tomorrow. If Ireland get through and you want to party on in after 10 o'clock, you just
Yeah. Keep that fader up. We'll talk to you.
Yeah, I'm either tomorrow night we're either going to just sing Knees Up Mother Brown for 2 hours. Just get
what, and then
head to
coppers with Joel and me. Is that
absolutely
what it'll be?
Yes. Or else we're going to play 2 hours of funereal music, like in the Soviet Union when someone died. Remember, they used to cancel the programs and just play funeral music
for it'll days on end.
Yeah, Elgar for 2 hours. Yeah.
What's the plan tonight? What are we doing for Christmas
some great
Eve?
Music on around. I'm raving about Baxter Drury, Ian Drury's son. I am absolutely blown away by that. The apple has not fallen far from the tree. Yeah, it's brilliant. A great way of cursing, Kevin. I don't know if you know if that carries currency with you, but some people are very good at it.
Yeah.
They put real venom into it.
Yes.
They enunciate every single letter of a four-letter word. They make it sound like a 54-letter word.
Yeah.
He's really good at it. I think you need to be a Cockney. They really have a way of saying things.
Yeah.
They make U's into A's and it gets venomous.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
That and loads of other stuff. I'm starting my guide to what to buy for Christmas because there's brilliant albums.
Away.
Yeah.
Tom.
It's been Christmas in my world now since around 4 weeks ago.
For a start, no one buys anything anyway.
Yeah. Tom, what can I say?
Can you do it? What to listen on?
There's no escaping it.
What day? We are now 15th.
It's 15th. Almost into panic buying
mode. What's this buying business? Tell me what I should stream on Spotify.
Oh God, you're so new. Do you not want the
let's buy some music.
Yeah, do you not want the pleasure of ripping the wrapper off on a Christmas morning and seeing that big juicy 12-inch vinyl waiting for you?
Tell me what I should stream.
Honestly. God, you're so last year.
Yeah.
It's vinyl. Vinyl is back.
Is vinyl
the
back?
Place
yeah,
to
I've
be.
Heard that.
Venomous,
I've heard that.
Yes.
I've heard that.
The future.
Anything else?
That and Windcarpers of the Weezer album, which I think is great. REM's Automatic the People is reissued. What an album.
Very good.
There's a live album with it and it's as good a live band you'll ever hear.
Joel can stream that anywhere, can't he? So you get
he goes on stage, he just says the name of this band is REM. It starts
like that, and that's on the Spotify version as well.
The Spotify version is very weak. it's a different gig on Spotify.
We wish you a good show. Hopefully, if we're through and we're all giddy, we'll come on for a few minutes at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And
please, that'd be great.
Scream from
because I find there's no one to ever relay these things to in my world, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Tom Dunn's on the way very shortly. We're done for this evening. Live commentary tomorrow on the show, and if you're watching the TV or if you're not around. We may well be screaming down to Tom at 10 past 10, so we'll catch you then. Yeah, okay. Give him a ball and he out of grass. He'll give you a move for the perfect pass. Give him a ball and he out of space.